This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
This podcast is brought to you by Homu Casino Resort, the player's place.
Well, happy Tuesday, everybody. It's Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. You can tell I'm still getting over a little bit of the crud. Feel better today. You know, we'll see how it goes over the next 4 hours. But thanks for joining us this morning. If you wanted to hear, you know, a lot of yelling and pounding of my mom's work table, then I don't know, man. You think you came to the wrong place. People were tweeting me last night, you need to unload on this team tomorrow. And I don't know. I think you heard of it enough. I think you heard it enough yesterday on the radio station. Paulie, do I got an echo on me?
Yeah, I keep telling you to mute yourself, but I just did it, so you're good.
You did it for me. Thank you. Yeah, I think you heard enough screaming and yelling yesterday on 97.3 The Fan. I'm going to spare you guys in the morning because I was thinking about it. You know, you wake up first thing in the morning. Last thing you want to hear is somebody screaming at you. And I'm gonna refrain from that. Maybe Ben will want to, maybe Paul will want to, but I'm not going to today because I can't really scream. I don't feel great. I am Woodsy. That is Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
You gonna do some yelling and pounding your fist today?
No, I okay. Love our audience right. Too much to yell at them right now. I'm
fair
tired.
Enough.
Ben Higgins feel like is doing that.
Ben Higgins is your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Benjamin, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. Probably not in a yelling mood either. It's been a long couple of days. I did want to thank everybody, all the well wishers. Thinking about my son. Good news, out of the hospital, was resting very comfortably last night, and hopefully well on the road to recovery. But so many people reached out, and I appreciate all the kind comments and messages that I received from tier ones and even colleagues. Had our afternoon hosts all reach out to me, which was very nice of them. But everything's going in the positive direction right now. So just wanted to thank everybody for their good thoughts.
Rob says we need to unload Friday. You guys are too soft, T.O. Too soft. Stop being nice. You guys are so frustrating. Okay. Yeah. I will absolutely ask Mike Schilt the question on Friday of, you know, why aren't you playing your all-stars? I think that's a very fair question. He's been asked it every day. I think that is a fair question. He may not feel that way, but I think it's definitely, fair to ask, you know, and I think Ryan O'Hearn, in the game he had last night, it was just poetic, right? It was poetic after all the discourse yesterday about, you know, who should be in the lineup and all that. Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely fair to ask Mike Schilt that question. So, absolutely have no problem, asking him that. Have no problem asking about the lineup. We've asked him before, but you know, at the end of the day, man, this team's two games out. I see a lot of comments about, you know, they're weak, they're mentally weak. They're just in a skid right now, man. They are absolutely in a skid, a four-game skid. Can they pull their way out of it? They can. They've done it a million times this year. I'm just not super upset. I'm not super upset. I'm not super angry about it because, well, there's still baseball left to be played. And, you know, I don't know the answer of why Mike Schilt makes the lineups the way that he does. I really don't know. And Joshua says, you know, Tatis has been in a skid for 3 months, 100%. You know, offensively. But he's still a valuable player. Now, where would you like to see him hit? I don't know the answer to that. I really don't know where the answer is to that. I do feel like if they thought it would be better, they would do it. I don't know the reason why they wouldn't. I don't know that it's pride. I don't know that it's ego or hurt feelings. I really don't know the answer. I have no idea. But I am certainly happy to ask Schilty that question, and maybe he can give us a little bit of insight. You know, if it comes across that we're scared of Mike Schilt, we're not scared of Mike Schilt.
I'm a little scared of Mike Schilt. I mean, I'm not scared of a lot of people. I mean, I'm just kind of in general, I'm scared of people. I feel like, you know, we're going to get to Friday. Keep this in mind. Ryan O'Hearn's going to start the next 3 days against righties. Almost certainly. And that question on Friday is going to be thrown back in our face. He just started the last 3 days. I knew he was going to start against righties the other three games of the series, so thought that was a good day to get him off against a lefty. We brought him in, used him really effectively off the bench for a home run. What do you want of me? I mean, I would be frustrated if I was Mike Schilt, too, knowing, I gave him a day off, he hit a home run, started him the next 3 days against righties, knowing that's what's coming up in the order. It's not that unusual, and I've seen the Padres fan base kind of losing their mind about this. This is not so unusual. Personally, I probably would have given Luis Arraez a day off and let Ryan O'Hearn have a chance to start at first base yesterday, but it's not the negligent decision that I think the Padres fan base wants it to be. Like, Mike Schilt isn't even thinking about playing Ryan O'Hearn. I promise you, he thinks pretty carefully about the lineup every single day, and for reasons, some of which may not be completely transparent to us at all times, he decided on the lineup that he did yesterday. Did it cost the Padres a game? I mean, would Ryan O'Hearn have homered every single time against Robbie Ray? He got an at-bat against him. He homered against him. Might have gone 0-for-2 with two strikeouts in the other two at-bats. We don't know the answer to that question. But I promise you that Mike Schilt is not doing this willy-nilly. He doesn't have a vendetta against Ryan O'Hearn. He's thinking about his lineups when he puts them out. I know that is absolutely true.
I think, you know, we can go through this again for the entire effing day if we want. But, you know, if it were me, I would play my All-Stars. I would play them. And if we
does
lost...
Does that include Luis Arraez, or he wasn't an All-Star this year? So you don't have to play him anymore. I mean, he's been an all-star, I think, a couple of times at least. So I think Mike likes to play Luis Arraez most of the time.
Well, we know he likes to play Luis Arraez most of the time. But I do think that you could, like for example, I've texted a couple of people I know, and I said, if you had the lineup, where would you, that are, you know, they've done this, where would you hit Luis Arraez? They said seventh or ninth. And I said, yeah, I don't think anybody in the world would have a problem with that. He has not been your typical Luis Arraez that he normally is this year. With Jackson going down, it's going to give guys a chance. You could feasibly get O'Hearn, Arraez, and Sheets in a lineup every day. You feasibly could do that. So there's a lot to, you know, injuries often will play a part. And somebody made the good point, Ben. I don't know that it was exactly strategy pinch hitting, because if Jake Cronenworth hadn't got hit by a pitch, he was absolutely going to take that AB there. I think he was hurt, and I don't know that it was some strategy, you know, brilliant button pushed. I think it was a matter of necessity. So I think O'Hearn's probably a better first baseman than Luis Arraez defensively. And honestly, like he's hitting lefties. albeit a much smaller sample size, better than Luis Arraez is this year. So I think, you know, at this point, it's the fan base is going to continue to self-immolate until they win games. That's how I feel.
I was texting with A.J. Cassaville yesterday, and he made the point that Mike Schilt did make some changes last year. Jake Cronenworth had been batting near the top of the order, Jackson Merrill near the bottom. Everyone had screamed for months, move Jackson up. And then finally in September, he made the last change for the stretch run. But he was very committed to trying to keep a consistent lineup during the dog days of summer, during August. Didn't want to change up things too much before, you know, kind of settling in for that last stretch run. Whether or not he's doing that, he probably will never say what exactly is on his mind. I will say what's on my mind, though. This is not foreplay, and I'm not usually the one to say this. How did we already get into this? We can tour ours, Woods. I want to know how things are going at your house. In particular, I had the realization yesterday, as you've gone home to visit your parents in Texas, and it was great having Gary on the show yesterday. That was absolutely fun. My favorite segment of the day. I realized that I have not spent the night at my own parents' house since I moved out, you know, almost 30 years ago, after college, and I got my own place. And, you know, because I live in the same town, there's never been a reason for me to spend the night at their house. I didn't have, you know, go over, have dinner, holidays, whatever. But I always go back to my own house and my own bed at the end of the night. And I wanted to know, what's it like as a 50-year-old man now living back in your parents' home, even temporarily?
I got to tell you, man, it's so weird that you brought that up, because I had this crazy, crazy thing that happened yesterday. A couple of little instances. So I wasn't feeling well, and it's such a bummer. You know, you come in to, like, take care of your dad and do stuff for your mom to help out around the house, and you feel like death warmed over. And I felt like crap after the show. So I walked out. My dad goes, hey, you know, I'm feeling good. Go get a nap. And, you know, we'll see you later. I go, you need anything? No, I don't. So I go back to my room. I pull the covers up over my head, and I take a nap till 2 p.m. here. So noon to 2. I shuffle out at 2, make a big plate of barbecue, leftovers. Then I eat it. And then I'm like, all right, I'm going to go back to bed. And I stopped before I got to the door, and I go, this must bring back some really bad memories for you. Me coming out of my room at 2 p.m., eating, then going back to bed, and he just died laughing. So then so I went back in my room for a bit. Then I came out.
Is your room still room, or what has been done room?
No.
This isn't even the house you really were in, right? This is a different house.
No, this is not the house that I grew up in. And I so then I walked out. We hung out for a bit. And then I go, all right, well, I'm feeling like crap. It's super sunny outside. Let me go get some vitamin D. Let me jump. They have a great pool. I said, let me jump in the pool. So I went out. I dove in the pool. I swam. I made some phone calls by the side of the pool.
Wait, does Gary keep that pool heated?
No, well, the sun in Texas at 98 degrees
keeps the pool heated. I'm going to say that's pricey to keep that pool heated just in case your son happens to stop by unexpectedly.
Bro, it is. You dive in and it's like tepid bathwater, but it still feels great. So I kind of hung by the pool, and then I was sitting in the pool, and I go, this is so weird, man. This is like, I feel like I just got out of rehab or something. Or like, yeah, Hannah kicked me out. Thanks for letting me crash here for a while. Now, granted, mind you, I've got a family back home. I did work. I worked. I did a full morning show from this house that morning, and I still felt like, oh my God, I felt like I've never been here without my family or my wife. You know what I'm saying? I've never, ever been to this home by myself. And so I did. I felt like a guy that just got out of rehab and was like, oh, getting on back on my feet, folks. Thanks for having me. I really did. I felt kind of like a dirtbag, even though I know I did. I didn't, you know, my wife didn't kick me out. I didn't leave them. I'm just here visiting and helping out. So I went and got dinner for us and you know, did all that. But, man, come 7 o'clock, everyone's beat. Everyone went to bed. I got in bed. I stayed up for – I made it about 5 innings before I absolutely sacked out on cold meds and You know, and I woke up to the incredible, incredible stories this morning. I want to say God bless the Colorado Rockies. Thank you for making my morning a little bit better, a little bit more tolerable, this morning, as they did beat the Dodgers in walk-off style last night. That's fantastic. Was not expecting that. But man, yeah, as it pertains to being home, Benny, it's weird. It is a weird, weird, weird feeling.
Is it a scary preview in case your life goes completely off the rails at some point and, you know, you have to move back? I think that's always a fear. Like, what if I have to move back in with my parents at some point? And things have gone wrong somewhere that I have to come knocking at the door and go, hey, can I live with you for a while I get my feet back under me? I don't know. That's like a personal fear of mine. For some reason, I'm sure my parents would love to have me if that was ever the case, but I still feel like that would mean I have failed at life somehow.
I feel like you could do a lot worse than here. And the worry is that I'm getting too comfortable, right? That's the thing, is like, because when I walked out yesterday, I go, do you need anything? He goes, no. And he goes, can I fix you something neat? No, I'm good. Okay. And he's like, I'm just so worried that you're going to be bored. And I looked at him and I laughed and I go, Dad, I just did my show, which means I can check that box for the day. I worked. I said, my kids are in school back home. I don't have to do pickup. I don't have to do bath time. I go, this is like fantasy camp. This is relaxation fantasy camp for me. If there's anything you need, like, please let me know. That's why I came. But he's like, no, I want you to feel better. Go in your room. I was like, well, this is fantastic.
Steven, so, go to your room.
Go to my room. No complaints out of me at all. It's great being home. We you know, hung out last night. And like I said, man, everyone was pretty bushed after the day. And everyone hit the sack early. It's actually really nice, man. A really, really nice scene. I'm sure my wife is loving hearing this right now. She's not texting me back, by the way. Like, I said, good morning. She said, good morning. I said, how are you? And then she said, good. So we'll see. But, it's like a vacation with no kids after a vacation, Eric. It's very strange. But I did have the feeling of, like, swimming in the pool yesterday was the one that got me, where I was like, oh, boy. Like, I could feel being 19 again and my dad looking out the window and shaking his head going, is this loser ever going to make something of himself? And I'm sitting there going in my own head, but I have made something of myself. I've actually done everything I wanted to do.
Mom, like, want to do things like, hey, can I do some laundry for you? Can I help you out? Because mom is like that when I'm at home. Like, she's can I get you a cup of tea? Can I get you that? And it does. You feel very well cared for by your mother at home.
And my father. My father has always been very that way too. You know, he doesn't like to impose, and I think he feels being, you know, not up to 100%. That he's imposing on me somehow. And I go, no, whatever you need, man, whatever you need. My mom's actually working she worked yesterday and today, but then she's off, and me and her are going to go after the show tomorrow. She's like, I want to take you shopping. I'm like, Mom, I'm 50. You don't have to take me shopping anymore.
Let her take you shopping. I want to hear about going shopping.
She loves
it. I loved going shopping with my mom and my grandma when I was younger.
Yeah.
I haven't done it in a long time, gone shopping with my mom. She takes Lisa my kids wants now to know, shopping, because I'm a bad shopper, so she'll go and take my boys shopping, and I'm sure they love it.
I promise you they love shopping with her more than they love shopping with you.
I'm
That's
sure
one
they
thing
do,
I can
yes.
promise you. Elisa wants to know, is Hannah going to get a little break soon? So, Elisa, the day I get home is Friday. She leaves on Saturday morning for a trip with her girlfriends back to Kauai, so she will get a break. I hope she doesn't even call me or text me. I hope she just forgets that she has a family. Just let her be. And, boy, she's earned it big time. Big time. But it's crazy. It's a weird, weird feeling, man, to be home without my family. It is so, so weird.
All right, that's an update from Woods. Pauly, anything going on that you need to share with us?
No, I'm feeling better than I did yesterday.
Good. I've got one pet peeve to get off my chest quickly. Very, very fast before we set the menu and get talking more about the game last night and the Xander Bogaerts home run that wasn't. We'll get to all of that momentarily. So I don't know if you guys saw the Powerball jackpot has gotten pretty big again, as it does usually once or twice a year. No one's won in like 33 drawings. It was over $600 million last night. I do not generally play the California lottery because, math. I know the odds are infinitesimal about winning. But when it gets big enough, you probably have this happen at your own office. Someone at the office sends out an email.
The old office going, yeah. Pool.
Can you, if you want to throw in $5 or $2 or $10 or whatever, we're going to buy a group of tickets. And then if we win, we'll split all the winnings. I don't want to do that because I know we're not going to win. And we didn't win last night, I believe. But I feel so much pressure, like, all right, what if they did win? I don't want to be the one who's left at work that didn't win the pool when my other colleagues have all won and shared $600 million. Even after the lump sum and the taxes, they're probably still all walking away with, you know, $30, $40 million each, probably out the door, never to be seen again. And I'm left with, like, the three schlubs who didn't get into the pool at the end. So I feel compelled to just waste my $2 or whatever in contributing to this pot that we have no chance of actually winning. And so I did, and because I don't want to be the only one who didn't win the lottery.
Is it a jerk move then to pressure everyone in the office?
I don't want to do the office pools. I don't want
to
do the office pools.
Why not? It's like $2 or whatever.
Well, that's the thing, though. Because I feel very much like I cannot do it at that point because of the one
$2.
Trillionth of a chance that they're going to win. And I'm more worried about how I'd feel if they all won. I mean, it would be like one of the most devastating feelings in life, right? I'm more scared about that. I don't care that I don't win. I don't play. I never play. Someone wins every time, but I don't feel guilty about that. But the idea that all my colleagues could win without me is absolutely terrifying to me.
Well, then, if it's terrifying to you, just put the $2 in every time.
I did. And I will the next time, and I will the next time, and I'm just continuing to waste the $2 every single time.
Now, my dad's here, and he probably doesn't want me to tell this story, but I've told this before, and I think you guys know this. I told you about the hole-in-one pool at his club when we were growing up, when I was in college.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, I belonged to a country club. And when you sign up, they said it's $1 a month for the hole-in-one pool. And there's you know, say there's 500 members, and everybody puts in. Well, nobody gets a hole-in-one for a while, and it builds up. So I come home from college, I'm visiting, and I tee off on the 17th hole, and I hit a 9-iron, 144 yards, into the hole, hole-in-one. So I'm sitting here thinking, I've just collected a king's ransom as a college student by getting a hole in one under my dad's, you know, guest pass. And I think guests were eligible because I signed up, you know, under his deal. Go to collect my money. And they said, no, your dad did. He opted out. And I said, excuse me? They said, yeah, he opted out. I'm like, he was like a scratch golfer at the time, too, which seems a little bit short-sighted. You could have paid the $12 a year and, like, you could have won because you're really good. And I was really looking forward to at least a couple of grand. And I found out he opted out of that dollar a month. He's probably here lurking somewhere to hear that story.
I mean, a hole-in-one's like a million times more likely than winning the lottery, too. That's unlikely the lottery is.
And, well, think about if you're, you know, if you're the club champion, perhaps, at that time.
Exactly.
Gary Woods with a 63.
Most golfers have a hole-in-one or two in their lifetime. It's going to happen. Most people are not going to win the Powerball in their lifetime, for sure.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I think you get that. You throw that $2 in just to placate everybody. And again, with that very off chance that you win, you'd jump in traffic if all your teammates won and you didn't. You would jump into traffic.
It would be the,
speaking of traffic,
like the worst night. I want to hear stories. I want to see a story of the person at work who, you know, that work, that one work that did win the lottery jackpot. And the one schlub in the corner who said, nah, I don't have $5 today. I'm not going to get in. And what it felt like to be them the next day showing up at work when the rest of your colleagues are all millionaires and you're still toiling away for, you know, $17 an hour or whatever it was. I want to know that story.
It's incredible. It's incredible. Right. And I may have the. I'll confirm with my dad that it was a dollar. It could have been $10 a month. I don't know what it was, but my recollection that it was $1 a month.
Yeah, you got
to. That makes sense.
You'd have to find a story of, like, the office pools winning.
Yes.
I'm sure they have.
Yeah, there's been a
but
few.
But you never see those stories. It's always like the, oh, this guy in Oregon won at this local 7-Eleven here.
Yeah, but there are the office pools that win, and there's got to be the people who didn't participate in the office pool. I want to know where those people are, because I mean, they must be the saddest people on earth, I would think. All right, let's check traffic. We'll come back, a quick set of the menu, and then we'll get going on a busy Tuesday morning here with Ben and Woods. Don't go away. It's 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We got a fourth straight Padres crap-up loss to wrap up from last night in our next segment. By the way, last time the Padres lost four in a row, it's about 3 weeks ago, and then they went and ran off 14 of their next 17 wins right after
I'll
that.
Take so it.
It's not like they haven't done this already in the second half of the season. Let's keep that perspective in mind. We'll get to that. We'll talk about the Xander home run call, the controversy from last night's game. I got pretty irate, as did Mike Schilt last night after the game, as did Sammy Leavitt after the game. And then there were people completely on the other side of the debate as well. Should it have been a home run or not? We'll talk about that coming up. Jesse Agler will join us at 8:35 on Incorporator Tuesday, get his thoughts on what's been going on with the San Diego Padres from the Voice of the Padres. And in and around that, got our regular features. We also have some giveaways today, and including some tickets to the Padres Giants game coming up for the Michael King bobblehead night on Wednesday. And we're going to play something new. We're going to break out Ben's box. And I will.
Ben's big box.
So I will explain how we're going to give away the Padres tickets a little bit later on in the program. So stay tuned for your chance to win.
Ben's box.
We will come back, though, talk Padres baseball with last night's 4-3 loss to the San Francisco Giants. Another frustrating one for your Padres. That is coming up next. Stephen Woods, Paul Reindel, Ben Higgins on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
But first, my ode to EcoWater. EcoWater, I miss you so. How much, you'll never know. I will tell you right now, you know, it's the worst part about traveling is being away from the EcoWater. I mean, I miss my family, obviously, right? But other than them, I do miss the EcoWater, filling up my big, giant jug of EcoWater every single day, bringing it to work, filling it up at work with the delicious EcoWater that we have there. Now I'm drinking bottled water here. It's just not the same. We've got the EcoWater system in our home. Get it in your home. You will be very happy that you did. You can try the Soft Life and alkaline water for now just $9.95 a month. Have them at least come out. Get a free in-home water test today. They come in, test your water. They shake it up. And they say, look, this is what you guys are showering in. This is what's going through your pipes, all this sediment, all this weird stuff in there. And you look at it and go, I can't believe this. This is what we've been cleaning our fruit in and feeding our pets and our kids, making bottles with. It's truly crazy. Get this thing. It doesn't cost a ton of money. 760-350-3338 or visit EcoWaterSoCal.com. Let them know Woodsy sent you over there. Not everything in life should be hard, especially your water. Keeping it soft since 1925. Eco Water. Your water should be perfect.
This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Staples, calling all parents and teachers. At Staples, your back-to-school budget is officially saved by the button, the easy button, with supplies as low as 25 cents, plus laptops up to 40% off and more. Deals on top brands and trending styles. Find it all at Staples. That was easy. If you missed it, of course, yesterday, Jackson Merrill held out of the lineup, did not play in the game last night due to the ankle injury he suffered on Friday, coming out of the box on a single in the ninth inning where his spike got caught in the dirt, clearly kind of twisted, rolled his ankle, did finish that game and played on Saturday, but had to come out of Sunday's game and then was not in the lineup. Mike Schilt talked about it before the game, said they're still evaluating the severity of the injury, whether it was possible he might be able to come in and pinch hit or something later in that game today, but also sounded like it might be possible that they'll have to put him on the shelf for a few days as well. So that's another thing, Woods, that the Padres have to deal with going forward. They might not have their regular center fielder for at least a period of time right now, which is a pretty important week here with the Dodgers coming back to town in a couple of days.
Yeah, it is. And you know, luckily for us, though, we've got other guys that can fill into those roles. And, I think a lot of the lineup discourse is going to be, squashed pretty soon because of necessity, right? I think, with Jackson being out, you know, you saw one iteration of it last night. And, I understand, you know, getting Beege out there, in center field for his defense. It's fine. You know, at this point, it's fine. But, I know we're going to talk about O'Hearn, more today. I know we're going to talk about Gavin Sheets more today. You've got some options. Mike Schilt has some options. Now, whether he chooses to employ those or deploy those options, that's up to him. But we can certainly talk about what his options are going forward.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you do have to consider what your team looks like defensively as well. I think.
Correct. You absolutely do.
I think, outside of the O'Hearn debate, you should have enough offense now that you shouldn't have to worry necessarily about every single guy having to produce, you know, at the plate every single game. I think the problem at the moment is that Manny Machado remains in a big slump here in August.
Yep.
These last four games look a lot different if Manny is swinging the bat well. I mean, they probably win two, even three of them if Manny comes through like a normal Manny, you know, a couple of hits, a home run here or there. That makes a huge difference.
Yep.
Three of these four losses are one-run losses in games that the Padres had multiple opportunities, you know, to score, you know, runners in scoring position, especially on Sunday, had a ton of chances to win that game. And if Manny.
Well, not yesterday,
but
the other ones.
On Sunday, they did.
The
other
ones.
Yesterday, they didn't.
Well, you said in the last four games, the last three or four have been one run games. They had multiple opportunities to score.
Not yesterday. Yeah, Sunday,
they
especially.
They couldn't even get anybody on.
Yeah, they definitely struggled more yesterday offensively, but I feel like if, you know, Manny is Manny, it makes a huge difference, and he's just slumping right now, which, you know, every player goes through slumps. The Chicago Cubs are going through massive slumps right now. Pete Crow Armstrong was the best player in baseball. He's hitting 160 in the month of August. Kyle Tucker is hitting 160 and was an MVP candidate.
He's not had a home run in a month. That's Kyle Tucker. It's just the worst type. Actually, it's not the worst time of year to have it. The worst time of year to have it happen is next month, which, by the way, is rapidly approaching. So, you know, you want to get some guys. Yeah, in the month after that, you want to get these guys really hitting the ground running come September, October. Of course you worry about it, but it's not going to keep me up at night. I do have faith that some of those guys will hit their way out of it at this point, those guys being Nando and Manny. I mean, they're just too good not to.
I will say, Paulie, rarely do players go through long slumps in October, because if you go through a slump for about three days, your season's over. Yeah. It's not going to be very long. So most guys have hot Octobers, or they're just gone from the playoffs pretty quickly.
Get them firing in September. But, yeah, these again, it didn't feel like the dog days, Bill. Bill in the chat, these are the dog days of August. Man, it didn't feel like the dog days this time last week. It felt like you know, these guys are going to push through August at a fever pitch, and they've hit the skids a little bit, you know.
All right, let's go through what happened last night. Plenty of things to discuss and debate in a one-run game. Lost to the Giants, our Padres crap-up, right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports. Other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's a shame, it's a shame, it's a shame, it's a shame if they lose.
You got a problem, 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 problem.
Oh, a shame indeed.
I couldn't agree more.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
What the heck happened?
Are you kidding me?
Can't even believe it.
It's the Padres
Crap Up,
presented by Hamul Casino. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort. With going new eats and drinks, it gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
Gone bad. Ramos sends this one in the air to deep left field, though. Laureano is at the wall, leaps up, it's going to go. A leadoff homer for Elliot Ramos. And the Giants take a 1-0 lead on the fourth pitch of the game. 0-1 to Devers, he rips one in the air deep to right field. Fernando is back at the wall, this one also will go. Back-to-back home runs to begin the night for Elliot Ramos and Rafael Devers. And it's the Giants ahead 2-0, six pitches into the game. 1-1 pitch. Flores in the air to deep left field. Laureano is back. He's at the wall again. This one gonna go. Wilmer Flores. Third home run in the first inning for the Giants. This one a two-run shot, and it is 4-0. 3-1, Bogart swings, sends it in the air to left field and deep. Ramos is back, feeling for the wall. At the fence, he's got just enough room to reach up, and he can't make the catch. It goes into the first row, and a home run. Ramos thought that a fan interfered, but it looked from here like he reached over the wall, which makes it fair game. And home field advantage for Xander Bogaerts, 11th of the season. Padres are on the board. It's 4-1.
This is why, as an outfielder, you should jump regardless. I think that's the only reason why the fan was able to make a play. He stayed on his feet, and indeed, he's going up over the wall, and it came out of his glove. No one touched it. He just dropped it. This will go down as a homer for Xander Bogaerts, whether they challenge this or not.
After review, the call on the field is overturned. It was spectator interference.
Ball and a strike to pitch. And Iglesias grounds it to the left side. Schmidt gobbles it up, drops it, picks it up, throws to first, not in time, and the throw gets away into the stands, and Bogaerts will come in to score. O'Hearn facing Robbie Ray for the first time. A one pitch, swung on, hit in the air to deep center field. Lee's going back. He's at the wall. He's going to watch. It's going to go! Ryan O'Hearn, a two-run pinch-hit homer, and a one-run game in the bottom of the seventh.
What a weapon to have come off the bench in a big spot.
Trying to keep this game going or end it with one swing. The 3-2 in the air to left field, not deep. Ramos comes in. He will make the catch, and the ball game is over. And a weird night at Petco comes to a close with the Giants hanging on for a 4-3 win in Game 1 of this four-game series.
There was no clear evidence that that fan impeded his ability to make a play, created his a different in how he moved and his actions, went over the fence. None of it was clear. But somehow in the explanation, it was clear after 2 minutes and 40 seconds. Well, I'd like to see an angle that makes it clear, because I've yet to see it, and I just had 8 innings to watch it, and we lost by a run.
Oh, man. Woo! I was a little surprised by that. I was a little surprised by that overturn myself.
Well, Tony Gwynn Jr. was shocked by it, clearly. I mean, he went through a very long explanation as to how there was no chance it was going to be overturned there. And then, of course, nice little editing, and then it gets overturned on the home run. But that's not, I mean.
He's going up over the wall, and it came out of his glove. No one touched it. He just dropped it. This will go down as a homer for Xander Bogaerts, whether they challenge this or not.
After review, the call on the field is overturned. It was spectator interference.
Shocking. It was shocking.
So, the game wasn't lost there, though. The game was lost in the first inning, as three
Correct.
Of the last games have been, with crooked numbers by the opposition against the Padres' starting pitcher. Three runs on Saturday, four runs on Sunday, or three runs on 4-3-4, whatever it was. Like
yep.
85% of the runs the Padres have given up the last three games have been in the first inning. Nestor Cortez, given up three home runs in the first five batters, is clearly like what was going on there. And he said after the game, you know, he threw against the Giants in his last start and threw pretty well. I gave up one run in just under five innings. And he kind of went with the same strategy. And the Giants clearly were like waiting on that. They ambushed him on fastballs early. And then after that, he realized, okay, I'm going to adjust. And he threw a bunch of changeups the rest of the way. Obviously made it almost through six innings and pitched much better. But credit to the Giants. They, you know, they had a good game plan, came out, ambushed him. Cortez did what, a veteran pitcher does. He adjusted after that. But the damage was done so fast, he wasn't really able to do anything about it in the first few batters. I mean, by the time he figured out what was going on, it was already 4-0. Usually you have more of a chance to figure out what the batters are doing before it gets out of hand in, you know, less than like 3 or 4 minutes. And unfortunately for Nestor, the great adjustments he made just came, you know, too late for the Padres to come all the way back and tie up the game at some point.
One hit through seven innings doesn't help.
Well, yeah. I mean, offensively, the Padres also, you know, Robbie Ray's an all-star. He's a good pitcher. He was good the last time Padres found a way to get a few runs against him and win the game because they had a better pitching performance. This time, you know, took until the seventh inning before they could finally get some runs. But ultimately, Padres have to be better in the first inning. Somehow, some way, they can't keep digging themselves into these early deficits, because you're just going to lose the game most of the time when you fall behind 3 or 4 nothing in the first inning.
I mean, it's so disheartening to have to crawl back every single game. And, you know, fine, you want to give them credit for making it a game. I do. I give them some credit, big swings late in the game. But again, man, you're talking about coming back from four runs. It's just not a it's not something that we can overcome a lot. And I'll tell you, like, I was tweeting kind of sarcastically with our buddy, with a buddy last night on Twitter, and he said, it doesn't make sense to have a super pen if you never get a lead. And I said, yeah, that kind of backfired, didn't it? And the way the starting pitching has gone lately, there's no need for a super pen. You know, there's no need. In fact, it actually hurts you, because you're like, well, all we have are these really high leverage arms, but, you know, our starters are getting roughed up. Again, credit to Nestor Cortes for at least going, you know, 5 2/3 or whatever he went last night, eating up some innings, because, you know, damn near every arm is high leverage down there. So, you have to get a lead to make this thing work. That inevitably falls on the starting pitcher and the offense. You know, they have to prevent runs early, and we have to score runs early. And so far, you know, it worked really admirably in the first, you know, week or so after the trade deadline, but the last four games, it hasn't gone that way.
I mean, let me be clear. I'm not worried about Nestor Cortes. I think he's a pretty good pitcher. I'm glad they have him on the team. He showed that by making the adjustment very quickly. Usually, you know, adjusting after five batters and holding a team scoreless after that, normally that's a pretty good day for a pitcher. The fact that the Giants did so much damage in five batters is kind of the crazy thing. You know, and Wilmer Flores' home run wasn't even hit that hard. It was 93. It's not even considered a hard hit ball. The expected batting average was 060. I don't know just what jet stream it got into. You know, that was a little unlucky for Nestor as well. He didn't pitch as badly as maybe that final line indicates. I would actually argue if he did what he was supposed to do in adjusting, it just, you know, he just got blitzkrieged in the first five batters of the game. Ultimately, it's on the offense. They need to be more consistent. They need to be more at the top of the order. You know, Laureano can only do so much. The new guys have been really, really good since they came over, but it's the guys who have been here who just haven't been producing enough for the Padres in the last few games.
Yeah, I mean, again, thank you for going out. After you give up four runs in the first, you're throwing. Like, I'm going to let you stay out there, and you're going to go 110 pitches, you know, regardless. So it's up to you to make that adjustment and keep us in a ball game. Nestor absolutely did that. But, you know, I just, right now it's going pretty poorly. It's going pretty poorly for the Pods right now, in that they cannot find a way to scratch out a victory in the last four games. You know, what else is there to say? But you got to right the ship. I mean, people for good reason, I think, are losing their minds. Look, man, because we've seen this act before. We have seen it before from this team, and we don't want to see it again. And it certainly felt different, you know, a week ago, 10 days ago, the FU baseball that they were playing. I mean, they just were unrelenting from the first pitch of the game on. They really just never, ever let their foot off the gas. And I'm not saying that they're not giving max effort. I think they are. I think they want to win. They're just up against it right now.
As for the Xander Bogaerts home run that was overturned, and I argued with a bunch of people online last night, not that you can't see it both ways. I'm a reasonable person. I mean, maybe the fan interfered. Certainly, he was reaching there. It may have grazed his arm even.
But I think it did.
The rule says it has to plainly keep the defender from catching the ball, and it also can't be over the wall. The defender can't be reaching over the wall, as Tony Gwynn Jr. said. And to overturn a call, you have to be, you know, basically 100% sure that that's what's happened. And I just don't see any, way you can be at. That was not an easy play for Elliot Ramos. Don't know how you can be so sure. Oh yeah, it's a can of corn if the fan doesn't, you know, wave his arms in front of his face there. And I just don't see that. He might have caught it. But might have caught it is not the standard that Major League Baseball applies in this rule. It has to be plainly obvious that that ball was not over the fence at the time, that Ramos wasn't reaching over the fence, that it hit the fan and the fan interfered with it. And I just don't see the plain evidence. The ball ended up over the fence. He was reaching up high over the fence when it went off his glove. I just don't see how they can make that call in New York overturning what was called on the field as a home run. Now, had they called it fan interference originally, and the umpire said, fan interference, he's out, I think then that call would have stood. I do think that that call would have stood, but that's not how Major League Baseball operates their replay. It has to be conclusive evidence to overturn, especially a critical call like that. And if that's what happened on the field, to me, that has to stand. And I just don't understand the reasoning or the logic behind what they decided in New York last night, which is why Mike Schilt went out and got ejected. I think rightfully so, that, you know, he was as confused as some of the rest of us as to what happened on that play.
You know, and honestly, though, Benny, I disagree. I don't think Mike Schilt can get ejected there. He knows the rule. You can't argue at all a replay. He knows that. And to get thrown out that early in a game, and that's not an ejection, by the way, that's going to fire up your team. That's not a, hey, I'm out there sticking up for my guys. That is a very clear rule. You know you're going to get run for that if you set foot out. And to get ejected in the, what, second inning or whatever? I don't know, man. Bottom of the first. I don't think you can do that. I really don't.
I think it's important to show that you want to make sure all umpires are accountable, even the ones in New York that you can't see, and take a stand for your team that, hey, you know, we're out here putting ourselves on the line every single day. The least you can do in those offices in New York, and that was Mike Schilt was making that stand by going out there, going, be accountable to your own rules that you set out, your own replay rules that you have written out and stated. Be accountable to those, at least. I may disagree with some of your decisions, and Mike Schilt is very respectful to umpires. How many times have we heard, guys do a great job, it's a really tough job, says it a million times during the season, but at the very least, they can at least operate under their own rules that they have set out of how they're going to operate their replay system. And I thought it was important for him to go out and hold those guys accountable, even though he knew it was going to result in his ejection early in the game.
I feel like it's kind of a wasted ejection. You know, if you're going to go out there, make sure it's to get your money's worth. That's just me.
The problem is it's hard to get your money's worth when you're arguing with the guys who agreed with you to
Correct.
Begin with. The guys
so
at the umpires
it.
At the field agreed with him. They
so
called it a home run.
Out there. Yeah.
So don't go out there. That's what I'm saying.
But, I mean, what are you getting on the phone call? You should hand him the phone and call New York and start screaming at them from the dugout. I mean, you want to show accountability some way. And that was the only way he had available to him during the game. There's no other way to do it other than express, hey, tell your guys in New York they absolutely
feel like,
blew that one.
Ben, I feel like, I do feel like if you were watching me and I was the manager, I feel like you would say something to the effect of, Woodsy, you have to, you know that rule, right? And I go, yeah, but, you know, I wanted to give him a piece of my mind. And you'd say, well, you left your team for 8 innings, you know, after that. You knew you were going to get run. And I just feel like it was kind of a waste. Like, you can't set foot on the field. You know that. I don't mind when he charges out there and starts screaming at umps. I dig it, but that one, you kind of know, I got no leg to stand on here. I can't argue this.
All right, we will get back to the lineup discussion. Ryan O'Hearn, is it time for him to start against left-handed pitchers? He hasn't done so yet with the San Diego Padres. That and more coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, It's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.